Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
You know, I don't worry about it. I just got to continue to focus on what I can do here with these guys. Other people's opinions don't matter to me. I just got to be the best I can be for this team.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, 104.5 The Zone. 9:34, our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, I'm Kevin Ingram. We bring in from Titans Online, senior editor Jim Wyatt, after the comments there by Marcus Mariota. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. Real quick, do you have the inside track on these hat show prints? I saw you put out the tweet about those a little while ago.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I saw them there all over the stage during draft weekend, and I know I got a lot of questions when I tweeted out a photo back then about where you could get one, if they were going to be for sale, and they've announced that you can buy them. I just tweeted out, I know the team tweeted out, a link to hat show prints where you can purchase them. So that, I don't have any good deals I can get you, but I can at least show you the way to get one.
You asked the question to Marcus Mariota yesterday about how his approach might have changed. He said that it hadn't going into what's a really important year for him in his career. But you know, in some ways, Jim, does it almost have to, in some respects?
Well, I think certainly he knows he's got to stay healthy. I think he's done his part to try to address that by getting sturdier, getting a little bit bigger. I think he has talked about doing things to keep himself healthier. And I think from that standpoint, I think he knows he's got to be available for this team. You know, if they're playing in week 17 to try to get to the playoffs, he's got to be out there, and team's got to be going to count on him week in and week out. So from that standpoint, yes, I think the rest of it, I mean, I think Marcus has tried to put himself in a position to be as good as he can be every year. He just has had, for one reason or next, it just hasn't necessarily happened all the time. Some of it's been because of injury, but as far as his approach, with it, knowing it's a contract year, you know, what he said yesterday about not paying attention to what people are saying about him, I believe him in that. And he's not talking about people in the building. He's talking about critics and people who question him, because he's working the same way no matter what. I can guarantee you that.
Jim Weiner, guest from Titans Online, senior editor, as they work their way through OTAs.
Well, Jim, what did you think about Delanie Walker? He claimed that he was 85%. Would you say he looked about 110% or 85%?
I would say 85%. He looked good. I mean, he's not all the way back. You can tell that. But I will say this. He did more than I thought he would, a couple of weeks ago when I last talked to him, and he talked about, wanting to do as much as he could in OTAs. There's still a lot of time between camp start, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if some days during these OTAs or some days during the offseason he's going to get a day off just to try to not overdo it. But I thought he ran well. I mean, he didn't do everything. Still was limited, but what he did do, I thought he looked like he was ahead of at least where I thought he would be. And he admitted himself, I mean, he's still not all the way back yet, but felt great about it.
What do you think the Titans need to do to take that next step? Was it, addition of players, or is it just a matter of quarterback staying healthy? What do you think they need to do to get on? And the next step is like being in the playoffs and being a real threat to make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, obviously, you've got to have, we talked about Marcus earlier, you've got to have a quarterback mm-hmm. that you can count on and is out there week in and week out. And it's not just him. I think it's the guys around him. And if Marcus is available, but let's say he loses a couple of guys in the offensive line or loses some weapons, and things change. If you lose Delanie Walker in week one, then that changes things. So I think health's a big part of it. I think another part of it is, teams got to be more consistent. I mean, you can't go to Buffalo and lose a game against the Bills team that you should win, and you can't, get shut out at home and give up 11 sacks, and you can't have other games where you just get blown out of the water right out of the gate. But then you beat teams like the Eagles and the Patriots and win a game against the Texans when nobody thought you'd win at home without your starting quarterback. I mean, you've got to be more consistent week in and week out, and I think that's the biggest thing.
Jimmy, how do you think John Robinson's looking at Gerald McCoy? Because, you know, we've known in the past that he'll go with guys that he's familiar with. That's obviously the case from his years in Tampa Bay. And obviously he's still a productive player, had 6.5 sacks. So is it scheme or is it money that might, you know, preclude McCoy from coming here?
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's his market, too. I mean, what other teams are willing to do? I mean, when I look at him, and there's no question he's a great player, and there's no question that John has familiarity with him from his days in Tampa, as you mentioned, Mark. But I, you know, I'm sure other teams are going to be in the mix for him as well. And I think if you're the Titans, and this is just me, I haven't talked to him about this, but now, I'm looking at a year where Jeffrey Simmons, if he plays, will be toward the end of the year, and who knows what's going to happen, whether he plays at all. So you're looking to bring McCoy in as kind of a stopgap or just to get you through until Simmons is ready. You're looking to make him a permanent piece of the line. I mean, those are types of things that can be that will have to be discussed. I think he's going to have a market, and if teams jump out there and throw a ton of money at him, and I don't know how that would work out. Again, he hadn't even told me that he's going down that road. I'm just assuming a guy of that caliber, a guy he has familiar with, he's going to do his due diligence like he always does.
You know, Vrabel being a former linebacker, how much does that benefit, you know, the two linebackers, you know, they drafted, in terms of on-field coaching and maybe helping them even more?
I think it's huge. I mean, you know, because I've watched how he's worked, whether it was Arakpo and Morgan or Rashawn Evans or Landry. I watched how he worked with all those guys last year, and then I see right out of the gate he's doing the same thing with the young guys this year. I mean, he's kind of an expert at that position, and that's good and bad because it's good because, you know, he knows every nuance, knows everything that a guy can do to get better. It's bad that he's expecting these guys, for them at least, he's expecting them to do it exactly the way he did, which is a high, very high standard. He's not going to settle for anything short of top effort and top performance. So it's going to push these guys and make them better. But not just Vrabel. I think, and I don't think I can state this enough, I mean, having a guy like Cameron Wake's going to help. Because you know, people have talked about his influence, but just to see him on the field and just see already how he's showing guys different techniques and showing them how to do things, I think that's going to make a huge difference when one of your peers is doing it as well.
Jim, finally, Rashawn Evans to me is fascinating because you can see that the light has gone on. As we like to say, the game slowed down enough for him. That it looks his comfort level, you know, seems so much more, you know, than it was at the beginning of his rookie season. What about his role? They've got Jayon Brown, they've got Woodyard. Could Evans' role maybe be expanded to have him rush the passer? Or, you know, what do you see his fit in Dean Pease's defense?
Yeah, I think he does everything better. I mean, I think at the end of last year, I mean, there's no question that he was faster, he was more aggressive, he was confident, he wasn't thinking like he had too early, and there's no doubt that his injury last year held him back, and he finished so strong. I think just yesterday seeing him, I mean, it was a play where he got through the gap and would have sacked the quarterback if he had not been in a red jersey yesterday, and it's one of the plays that I think jumped out to me the most when I watched the defense. So I think you can see that more and more. I think all the second-year guys. I mean, I think Landry's going to make a leap, and obviously I mentioned Wake's presence again. When you have more guys like that, it's going to free up guys like Rashawn Evans to make more plays. And, yeah, I'm expecting big things out of him. I mean, that's a good position. You mentioned the other guys in there like Woodyard and Brown. I think that's one of the, you know, strong points of the defense.
Jim Wyatt, senior editor from Titans Online, talking about the OTA practices going on. Jimmy, thanks so much for the time.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
All right, we'll see you later. Always, have fun catching up with Jim. And again, those hat show prints from the NFL draft, you haven't heard this morning, those are going to be available. So You can get the details on that.